You may or may not know that I majored in history. And it may not be the most useful of degrees out there when you're looking for a job, although Sarah Waits is killing it with her history degree at the World War II Museum. But for today, at least, my degree is paying off just a little. So, a mini history lesson behind today's scripture, but I promise to keep it short. So at the time of the book of Jeremiah, the Assyrian Empire had just collapsed, and the Babylonian Empire quickly replaced it under the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar. Judea was situated between two powers, Babylon in the north of Judea and Egypt in the south. And because of this, Babylon invaded Judea in 598 BCE. And they took the first round of exiles to Babylon. They took their leaders, they took their skilled laborers, they took the best of the best. And then roughly 10 years later, Babylon came back and completely destroyed Jerusalem. And Judea's existence as an independent political entity was basically over. All of the remaining people were brought to Babylon as exiles. Okay, history lesson over. But it was between these two rounds of exiles that we get Jeremiah's prophecy. And so he's speaking to that first round of people who were taken, to the leaders, to the skilled laborers, to the best of the best. Jeremiah shares God's words to these leaders of Jerusalem who are now living as exiles in Babylon. And these are the people who have great dreams not only for their country, but for themselves and their children. You see, just before Jeremiah speaks in our passage today, Hananiah, who was declared a false prophet in the chapter before our reading, prophesies that the exiles will return home to Jerusalem within 2 years. 2 years seems like a really long time. And then Jeremiah he follows that up, informing them that they will be in exile for 70 years. 70 years means that most, if not all of them, will live the remaining part of their life in a foreign land, that they will never return home. 70 years. I know that I would yearn for the words of the false prophet to be true if I were in that situation. I would want to return back home to the familiar. And so Jeremiah commands, build houses and marry, plant gardens and eat, have children and encourage your children to have children. But it isn't the good news that it appears to be. Build, marry, plant, eat, multiply, all good words. But do it here? Here in exile? These are not the words they want to hear. I don't know if you've seen the movie St. Elmo's Fire, but it came out in the mid-80s, and it's about a group of recent college graduates trying to figure out adulthood. Wendy, one of these recent college grads, she brings her love interest to dinner at her parents' house, and she warns him beforehand. My mother whispers the words she finds distasteful. Did you hear about Betty? Cancer. How's Al doing these days? Therapy. Sometimes life throws words at us that we don't want to claim, that we certainly don't want to hear. Divorce, cancer, you're fired, prison. It's terminal. When we hear these words, we just want to erase them, cover them up with better words, which takes us back to Jeremiah. If you know anything from the book Jeremiah, it's likely this verse that comes just a few short verses after today's scripture reading. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." These are words of great comfort and great joy. These are the words that we want to hear in life. We want to hear God whispering to us that God knows what God's doing, that God will care for us, that God has a plan for us, and that that plan includes giving us a future that we can hope for. We see these words plastered on coffee mugs and t-shirts and bumper stickers, you name it. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." But we don't see the words from our scripture today accompanying these t-shirt words on bumper stickers, our coffee mugs. Because we don't want to hear the bad words. We whisper them for a reason. The command from God that Jeremiah shares in our scripture today, it doesn't sound like bad news. But you better believe that the Hebrews were whispering those words, just like Wendy's mom on St. Elmo's fire. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have kids. Let our children marry and multiply. For many of us, these are our life goals. Finding someone to partner with. Settling into a house. Making it a home. Having children. Raising them. Watching them fall in love and marry and have kids of their own. But doing this in the land of your captors, doing this as exiles, this is not what they planned. This isn't their home. They don't want to build houses. They don't want to plant gardens. They want to go home. And most of us get that. When we're in a bad way, when things have gone wrong, we just want it to go right. We want it resolved. No matter what life is throwing at you, whether it's recent news of an illness, the most challenging semester of your life, dealing with the terrible twos of toddlerhood, recent unemployment, stocks that won't come up, God is still with us. God is speaking through it. God is moving in the difficult times of our lives. Which reminds me, years ago, when I received the news that my sister had a brain tumor. Disclaimer, this is the sister who just celebrated her 40th birthday, so she is healthy and thriving without major surgery or any huge major treatment. And although most of us haven't gone through tumors, we can all relate to this. Many of us have picked up our phones, flashing with the names of our mother or father, best friend or sibling, expecting another casual conversation as they're driving to work, only to find the breath completely knocked out of us, to watch our world shift with the uttering of one word, tumor. Or maybe it's one of those other words that we want to whisper, prison, divorce, cancer. Thoughts of my sister, pale and frail, immediately flashed before my eyes. Thoughts of Christmases without her there. My heart stopped and then immediately surged. The tears that I wanted to flow to release the huge pressure in my chest wouldn't come. My words failed me. I can only imagine that these emotions mirrored what the exiles felt when they heard not the word tumor, but 70. 70 years. When our heart stops with unwanted news, God, through the words of Jeremiah, provides us with the directions for those times. Grow, discover, live life, deepen your relationship with God. We are commanded to take root and build and multiply and flourish. We're commanded to live and thrive, to continue to give life all that we have, to pour into other people. And not just the people in our family, but into the whole community. Jeremiah instructs, "Seek the welfare of the city where I sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you find your welfare." Out of everything the exiles hear, this is perhaps the most difficult command they receive. Pray. That makes sense. If I'm going through cancer or divorce or I'm unemployed, you can better believe that I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for myself, and I'm going to pray for those who are affected by my disease or divorce or unemployment. But when I'm down, and I mean really down, I don't want to pray for others. I don't have it in me. And I certainly don't want to pray for Babylon. I don't want to pray for an ex or for the company that let me go. I don't want to look outside of myself. I don't want to pray for this whole crummy situation. I just want it to go away. I just want it to get better. And then God speaks. For in its welfare, you find your welfare. Jeremiah reminds us that our welfare is tied up in the welfare of the people and the things around us. And for the exiles in this passage and for us, this means the community that we're in. God commands, pray for them and their welfare. Care for them. Serve them with your prayers and your love. Make their home your home. Be hospitable. Welcome them, even when you don't feel welcomed or at home. For together, you will get through this. Together. I've heard it said that God doesn't give you more than you can handle. And to be honest, I don't know if that's true. But I do know that together we can handle a lot more. When I received the call about my sister, we sat together. When our friends and our family go through chemo, together we make it through. We sit in hospital rooms with our friends so that their families can rest. We clean their homes and make them meals. Because even when everything in you makes you want to turn away from others, even when things seem so dismal and it feels like that dark cloud over your head just won't disappear, we don't turn inward, but outward. For true healing comes from community. Even though things feel dark and you don't know where your light will come from, when you feel so dark that you can't recognize the light of Christ within you, turn outward. Look to others. Let them shine Christ's light into your life. Let them bring meals. Let them pray. For we are called to community. For only then, only together, can we fully grasp the prophet's words from God. for I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Amen.